Well, we've been trying to tell you for the last 5 years this is not the podcast you're looking for, but if you're still here, you're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 250 for the week of Wednesday, the 7th of December, 2016. I'm Scott, and with me tonight are...
Ben.
Adam.
John.
And Eddie.
This episode is brought to you by Mike's Comics and Stuff, the Pop Culture Superstore, and ActionFigureBlues.com. Tonight, we celebrate our 250th episode with a Toydio commentary of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope.
Now, come along and take your little toys.
Well, guys, I don't know about you, but I am feeling every one of my 250 episodes. How are you?
Equally aged and haggard.
I'm still feeling young at heart.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, for sure. That's why you're the new blood still. So
yeah.
So we're not going to do a normal show tonight. We're 250 episodes old. And as well as being 250 episodes old, this is a bit of a chapter break in the life of the podcast, because as we mentioned last week, after this we are going to take a short break and also break from the rigid weekly release cycle. So you may or may not notice a stack of difference after this week in terms of our output, but the content probably will be different because we'll try some new things and have fun. So to celebrate 250 episodes, we thought that we would do something different, and I can't remember whose idea this was. Was this Eddie? Eddie's idea.
Yep.
Excellent. So we can blame Eddie if it goes badly.
No.
Okay. Yep. And the hardest part of this has actually been coming up with the name of what it is that we are going to do. We are going to...
I didn't think it was that hard. You guys made suggestions, and I said they're all awful.
Yeah, thank you. That made it really helpful then.
I don't even remember deciding that we needed a name for this.
Because I was thinking that the reason that I thought we needed a name is that I was thinking that this could become a thing. Right. So, you know, we have the segment names like Toy Breakdown and et cetera. And so we settled on Toydio Commentary. And what this means is that.
Yes, we did.
Shut up. If you have nothing constructive or helpful to say and bring zero ideas to the discussion, just be quiet.
Well, thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Anyway, so we're going to watch a movie, a little indie flick from the 70s you may or may not have heard of called Star Wars, which, you know, is moderately influential in some of our lives. And now for copyright purposes, if you want to hear the soundtrack or watch the movie, you're going to have to do that yourself because we're going to watch it, but we're not going to have the soundtrack in the movie because Scotty doesn't want to go to jail, basically. But we're going to talk.
I think I've seen that movie.
Yeah. The one where he gets trapped in the prison shower by the giant mouse.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. We all know how that ends anyway. So we are going to not talk really about the movie per se. We're going to talk about the toys. And obviously this movie, and its toys, I think probably are pretty much almost fully responsible for certainly my generation of toy geeks and how we were influenced. So what I thought before we jump into it, and obviously it is a 2-hour film, so it's going to be a bit of a long show, that we might just briefly share, you know, where did you first see this film? What was the experience? So, Ben, why don't you go first?
I was a wee lad of about 5 years old when my parents took me to the drive-in. At that age, I had no concept of, you know, what we were going to see or anything like that. I don't think I even recall, you know, even being told. We just went to the drive-in and must have been the big movie at the time or something like that. And I watched the film and I loved it. And it was probably about a week later when my mother brought home an action figure for me, and it was the 12-back Farm Boy Luke, which to this day I still have, and I still have the card that it came on, though it's minus the proof of purchase. And I do believe, to the best of my knowledge, that was the very first action figure I can remember ever getting. And it went from there.
And it's all downhill.
Yes, indeed.
John, what about you?
See, I want to say I had a storybook. Remember, you used to go to the movies and you'd get a storybook and have like pictures and the story. You know, you could get them from Weekly Reader or whatever. I had a hardcovered one for Star Wars. I think I had it before I saw the movie. I may have had the comic book before I saw the movie. But we were on vacation in upstate New York near where I was born. And I remember going with my parents to see it. It's one of the few movies I actually remember going with both my parents to see.
Yeah, cool.
Huh.
Yeah.
Adam.
Scott.
What about you?
I think that I would have seen it on television. So the first Star Wars movie I would have seen at the cinema was the one where the kids crash land on the Ewok planet. I can't even remember what that one's called. Yeah.
Caravan of Courage.
There you go. So the first times I would have seen Star Wars, I probably would have got seen some of the action bits and gone, oh, that looks cool. And then because I would have been so young, I've gone, now this is boring, but I have to wait through. Oh, here's some more action. That's cool. And, it kind of went on like that for a few goes of trying to watch it, and then eventually I got the whole way through it.
Youngsters. And and Eddie, you've probably never even seen it, have you? Like,
I know. I saw the new ones with Ewan and McGregor. That was, my generation. No, I saw Empire Strikes Back first on TV before I saw this one. And I don't have my memory of when I saw this one for the first time, but I remember when they were releasing the special editions in 97 because I was about 10 years old and I was super excited at the idea of seeing these in the cinema. So that was a lot of buzz on the playground at that time. Was going, I would see Star Wars in the cinema. And little did we know what we were actually asking for. And the idea of updated special effects to me as a kid was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. This is going to be so much better. It's going to be, we'll get into
that for sure.
Yeah.
I discovered a good example of just how faulty memory can be because I had this memory that I know that we definitely saw this in the drive-in. And my memory, I know that it was the second movie in a double feature because I remember sitting through something unbearable and boring waiting for this. And my memory has always said that it was Xanadu with Olivia Newton-John. But I did Googling tonight and that movie is newer. That was a 1980 release. So whatever I saw before Star Wars was definitely not Xanadu, but it was something, you know, similarly disturbing. It was funny how that, but I can't actually remember the kind of order of toys. You know, obviously I would have seen the movie before I had the toys, I assume. I had a comic book as well, pretty close to or maybe even before the movie. I'm not sure. Like,
The comics were out before the film. Okay,
and it was like a big comic book. It was the original ones that came out were there were two. It was in two parts, and I only had the second one. So
I'll see. For the longest time, I only had the first one.
Oh, we were twins even then. Oh, there you go. You know, different parts of the same pie or whatever. Yep. cool.
You?
I don't know. It's late. I'm 250 episodes old. Come on.
It's wrong.
Yeah. So we're gonna have a go at this, and obviously we have never done this before. So your results and experience may vary. But during our little commercial break, if you want to just listen, then I'm sure it'll be entertaining. But if you want to press pause and go get your copy of Star Wars, now we are watching the – what version are we watching?
Special edition.
Special edition because the original one's actually hard to find. So we're watching the one that we all – have got access to, but also that will, you know, bring some interesting toy commentary, I am sure. So take a short break, press pause if you need to go find your DVD. When we come back, we're going to press play on this thing, and off we go.
Frank Kenner, it's the Star Wars Mini Action Figure Collector's Case. Action figures sold separately. The Collector's Case holds 24 Star Wars action figures, like Stormtrooper, R5-D4, and Snaggletooth. It comes with two plastic trays to keep them in. Or you can turn the trays over and display all your figures in action poses. You can pack up Star Wars action figures and take them with you.
The Star Wars Mini Action Figure Collector's Case. Action figures each sold separately. From Kenner.
So we are about to start our Toydio commentary of Star Wars Episode 4. Eddie is going to just explain to us what we are doing and how to play along at home if you want to.
Okay, guys, so we're going to start off right at the beginning of the film print. Now, best way to do this, because all DVDs can be different, is when you're in the DVD main title menu. Don't go to the play movie option. Drop down to your chapter or scene selection. If you click on that, go in, you'll get, as DVDs work, your list of scenes. And if you go right to number one, a lot of the DVDs list it as opening logos. But if you click that number one section when we do the countdown, then you should start off right as the 20th Century Fox theme music begins to play. And it fades into the 20th Century Fox logo for that classic intro to Star Wars score. And we're going to be doing this. So hopefully if we do it all, everyone should be lined up nice and fine. So I'm going to count down from five and then say press. And when we say press, we'll all press it, including you at home. So if everyone's ready, 5, 4, 3, 2, one, press.
I wonder if Rupert Murdoch has ever seen Star Wars.
I don't think he knows. He tried to sue The Simpsons once and then had to be told that it was his own company. So he's surprised.
He's a genius, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, rich genius.
Yeah.
Although I think he's in financial trouble over something I read in the news the other day.
Oh, that'll lose.
Yeah, but that's rich financial trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize, like, 2 seconds in, we've just made this the prequels by getting all political with that?
Now, I'd just like to say that I had zero action figures of the opening titles.
I know, right? I was just about to say.
I actually am kind of surprised they haven't done, like, a light-up thing of the crawl. You know, where it would be a base and it would have a figure next to it, but it would light up and have the words on it.
Could be a builder figure.
You could just do it like a little paper scroll that's backlit and you just scroll it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't done something like that because they've done some other light up things. So,
is it called the Death Star because it's like the size of a star? Or like, why isn't it called like a death planet or a death ship or a death sphere? Or
because Death Star's just sounds boss.
Yeah. Well, because they called Scott's family and asked if they would focus group and figure out.
Yeah. I was originally that. Like killing all of gas.
spherical laser device.
Yeah.
Number one.
Why do we have these trenches? What the down. Now I remember my cousin as a kid had a like metal version of this blockade runner, and I had no idea what it was from till I finally saw the film.
Yeah, because I saw the film at the drive-in and I didn't see it again for many years. A lot of the figures as they were released were kind of lost on me a little bit because I couldn't place them in the film particularly well. So, and can we just have a word for the Imperial Star Destroyer playset, like one of the worst that they ever released?
I did not have
that. I was actually going to say, I always wanted the die-cast Star Destroyer, the little one from Vintage Line.
I think my dream of having a Star Wars Black Star Destroyer pretty much disappeared when I did a calculation and worked out that it would be 437 feet long. So about 133 meters to go with my 6-inch Star Wars Black.
Now, this other droid behind 3PO and R2, did that droid get a figure?
Yeah, yes. He did at least in the modern Hasbro era. Mm. I think, was he a builder droid? That one?
He was annoyed because C-3PO had his leg.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a question for you, John, being the 3¾ fan. It's interesting that in the original 12 backs, they had, you know, the Death Squad commander and the Stormtrooper and all that sort of stuff, but we never got these generic Rebel Trooper dudes.
No, and I think a lot of people thought originally that's what the Death Star Trooper was going to be.
Mm.
A lot of kids I know, that's what they used them for.
It didn't even occur to me as a kid. These names were pretty heavy duty. I mean, you've got Stormtrooper, you know, taken straight from the, you know, World War II kind of thing, and Death Squad Commander. It's pretty pretty full-on stuff.
If you think about the Death Squad Commander figure, it would have been an easy repaint to make him one of these Rebel Trooper things with the helmet-y thing, but that's, you know, before toy companies cynically did things like that.
Yeah, run, you cowards.
You actually, there weren't a lot of repaints, really, you know, in the original vintage line, if you think about it.
I don't know how they're not shooting each other.
Stormtroopers.
Like, I'm not talking about the storm. I'm talking about, like, actually shooting the same people on the same side.
Yeah.
They're pretty densely packed, right?
I think R2-D2 was probably the third or fourth figure I got from the 12-back. I managed to get them all, but R2 didn't age particularly well. No. I used to sort of play with my figures quite a lot, and his legs got extremely loose. His legs got bowed. His the decals around sort of cylindrical body, not only did they peel, but they got really dirty as well.
Vader's helmet kind of looked...
The Power of the Force line was my first time for getting these, and the droids were awesome because they had the VAC metal on it. They just stood out as their own.
Mm. And that third leg, wheel, whatever, we didn't get that originally.
You did if you had the Jawa Droid Factory.
In the vintage line.
Yeah, the Droid Factory actually had an R2 in it, and you could build him with the third leg.
Oh, my goodness.
How this rude. Is why we have you on, John.
That's right.
Why wasn't this a playset ever?
I don't know.
Well, you know, I could say that about a lot of the parts of the Star Wars theme. There's some great, great sort of scenery that they built.
And that Vader costume is just awesome. You got to love that design.
They made a figure of this guy, the guy he's choking, and there was something funky with his neck, so you could make Vader do that.
Oh, no!
That's a bit gruesome, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to say it stretched out a little bit so you get Vader's hand around it.
It's amazing that Leia with the cinnamon buns and the white robe, it's just so iconic, yet they still never managed to make a figure of her without making her look like a monkey.
Yeah. I do love her long gun, though, that I pretty much wanted the Leia toy just for that long, almost silenced gun.
Yeah, well, the original 12-back one was tiny. It was this little tiny stick kind of thing, and I was actually really good.
Two little handles on it.
Yeah, I was really good at keeping hold of all my accessories and stuff like that. I had a little sort of fishing tackle box, and I used to put all the guns in there when I finished playing
with my figures. And so,
of course, it was some. I kept everything, but I lost that gun. It was one of the first to disappear.
Leia to me is iconic with losing accessories because one of the worst was my Boosh Leia. I lost her helmet down the ducted heating in my house.
Oh, bummer.
Never got it back.
There'd be no mystery there then.
Yeah.
3PO did not have a restraining bolt for those paying attention.
Yeah. And Carrie Fisher has no bra for those paying attention.
Thanks.
Walking down that same corridor over and over again. Yeah, that Stormtrooper, honestly, is just so... It's such an aesthetically pleasing design.
Mm.
There's just something about that white Stormtrooper armor and those helmets.
always forget it's not symmetrical either. The legs are slightly different.
And here you go, Scott. You can actually see her skin kind of showing through that thin fabric.
Yeah.
Ah.
Probably wearing white.
We talked about that with the Hot Toys one, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm.
And that front stormtrooper is pretty short.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what the rank insignia? Does anyone work that out, or was it just completely random?
I think on the set it was random, but I'm sure someone's worked it out by this point.
Mm.
I'd assume the higher the rank, but
he's got the four bars.
I just thought that was Chantix.
Yeah, we even got action figures in the original vintage line of those Imperial officers. Mm. Yeah, we still didn't get those Rebel Troopers, which was another army builder. I mean, we got so many great army builders in the vintage line, but not the Rebels. It's like all the
I used that the Imperial Death Squad commander figure. You know, in a lot of that's a very flexible character because he kind of you know. With the level of detail, he was pretty generic. So,
yeah.
So we didn't have that in the Power of the Force. I had to reuse the Tarkin figure for different Imperial officers.
Huh. Come on, show me that silver leg. Still dispute it.
There it is.
Why is it they've walked like 200 yards and 3PO looks like he's been... You know, out there for a year.
Well, obviously, someone
crash landing. You know. Yeah,
yeah.
Surely you
probably didn't have his seatbelt on.
He's British as well. They don't cope well in the desert.
Jesus.
Hey, I'm sorry if I offended any British people.
Well,
I wonder how much they copied like the same space pods in Dragon Ball Z off of the space pods from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone just rips off everyone else.
The reason I always wanted the vintage Land of the Jawas, that cardboard set, was because it came with an escape pod.
Yeah.
And I never had one for 3 3/4 size.
I don't think I actually realized as a kid just how many of those play sets ripped you off. I used to look at the backs of the cards that the figures came on, and I used to see these awesome... accessories and play sets and things like that. It wasn't until years later that I realized, hang on, you actually don't get much there. It's just a big ass cardboard backing with, a few bits and pieces to throw in front of it. Like, that's not a sand crawler at all.
But it's a licensed piece of cardboard.
That's right. Yeah.
I always liked that years later in the Star Wars Legacy comics, they had a Darth that was based on the crate dragon there that C-3PO is standing next to.
Mm.
They did do a figure of him, but he's going to set you back probably 3 digits now if you can track him down.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Great story.
Uh-oh.
Do you know, the original Jawa had reflective paint eyes?
Yeah.
I don't remember them. I had two of them, but I don't remember them having glow-in-the-dark, reflective paint eyes.
Yeah, I don't either. I've got two, and mine aren't like that.
No, I just was the original card back said that they came with, yeah.
I think the original card back lied.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too. It's like so arduous for poor R2 to get over this ground. I don't know why he doesn't just use his jets.
He's gone about them, clearly.
Yeah.
Well, he's conserving the power at that point. ACS to cross a ravine or something.
I think there was
he's got such a well worn path to go down.
Yeah.
Which was the hard to get Jawa in the vintage line? Was that the plastic cape or the cloth cape?
Yeah, vinyl.
The vinyl cape.
Okay, because I'm trying to actually remember which ones I had. I think I might have even had one of each.
I'm pretty sure.
And I didn't like the vinyl ones.
No, me either.
Yeah. And I couldn't understand why, because in Australia they came out through Kenner and Toll Toys.
Okay.
I cannot even tell you how many Power of the Force 2 Jawas I have, or, post-95 Jawas I have.
I actually remember getting those because it was the day that Princess Diana died, and they were really rare here. Mm. And I remember I found one at Toys R Us, and I just wanted to keep playing with the Jawas, and all the adults are gathering around the TV to follow the news of Princess Diana. And
how old were you?
I would have been about like 10 or 11 at the time. Like,
okay. No one ask Eddie the rest of this how old he was.
You know, you'd have to think that this is a pretty darn good job that you get about, you know, the desert selling droids, and then you just happen to find two in the, you know, you happen to find one in the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the chances of that?
What are the chances?
Yeah. Like, that's just like, that's the proverbial gift horse, isn't it? You know, you just drive around. Oh, there's one. What are the odds? Oh, Death Star droid. Honestly.
How many droids do you think just end up aimlessly in the desert anyway?
That's, like, that's what
there,
I mean.
There must be some social. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Death Star droid was one of those ones that I just went, I don't actually remember him in the film. It wasn't until many years later. It's like, oh, he was in the Sandcrawler. But he was one that didn't age particularly well.
He shows up on the Death Star, too.
Oh, okay, another model.
I'll point him out.
Death Star droid. That's not. I don't even.
He's the chrome.
It's that
dude.
Guy right there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's like a
yeah.
four long meets C-3PO.
Mm hmm. You know, we didn't get that generic rebel trooper, but we got power droid. I mean, come on.
You really brought on this rebel.
Who played with power droid? Seriously, you just went, oh, yeah, it's novel.
Did.
And then, oh, come on. He sat up the back of your displays and.
No, he didn't. He would always come and charge the X-Wing before Luke took off.
Really?
Did you? Because I tended to find I'd get like a generic background character, but because he was the brand, he would be.
I love
the center
Power
of the
Droid.
Adventure.
Thank you very much.
I did.
Okay. I'm not expecting massive vehicles like the TIE Fighters in the
that
Star Wars.
That guy right there was one of my favorites.
But I really hope in the Star Wars Black 6-inch line we manage to get a Dewback. I think that's still a reasonable expectation given that we've had them in the 12-inch scale.
I actually had no idea about Dewbacks until the toy came out for Power of the Force 2. I'd never noticed it in the original runs as a kid.
Don't you think you'd notice that ring falling off you? You know, when the Stormtrooper holds up the ring, like, you wouldn't notice that that fell off?
I don't know, because, like, if it's not well affixed, you just go, oh, it might have just been rattling along and you've blocked out the rattling noise because you hear it all the time, then you don't notice it stop.
But it must serve a purpose.
Well, there must be a canteen in the Death Star.
Mm. Well, and it must also serve a purpose enough that you know it's a droid.
Yeah.
And not just part of the pod.
Have they ever revealed who?
Who?
Yeah, who did it belong to?
Whose ring it is?
Yeah.
Mm. That's what I mean.
I would go R2.
I would have assumed R2.
It obviously serves a purpose, so to have it fall off, you know, you think that. Yeah. Hey, did we ever get an action figure of that dome dude?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did we? Seriously?
I think all this lineup got a figure at some point.
Yeah, everything that's in the outside that they've got for sale has had a figure.
You even got the moisture evaporator outpost thingy got a figure.
And no goddamn rebel trooper.
Yeah, this is our sense of theme running.
I hope when Star Wars Black does Jawas, finally they come in a 2-pack or they come with a crap load of accessories because there's not a lot of plastic going on there.
That's how they kept getting me on these Jawas, the new ones, is each one would come with a different droid from the scene. So I'd be like, oh, well, I got to get that one. Oh, I got to get that one. Oh, I got to get that one.
Uncle Owen.
I love R5-D4. I got a very big soft spot for him.
Yep.
Because he's Power of the Force 2 one. Like, he opened up and shot a missile, and I went out for dinner with my parents the night I got him and was, like, annoying everyone in this, like, pizza restaurant around me shooting this missile off. And I'd also gotten a Tusken Raider, and so it was the adventures of sand people and R5-D4. It was great.
The garage dome actually got a vac-molded playset thing. Is an exclusive at Toys R Us a while back. I don't have one, but it was cool.
I never realized how whiny Luke is through this entire film.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
He moans about everything.
You just want to smack him.
I did love there was a robot chicken special where they revealed the power converters to be strippers at a strip club called Tashi Station.
Okay, watch that scene with R2 turning his head because you'll see it again in a few minutes.
I like
Uncle Owen has surprisingly few figures.
Yeah.
I've just calculated that a sand crawler would be 3.3 meters long for Star Wars Black 6 inch. So, you know, more chance than an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Yeah. And there's R5-D4 back again.
So that's nearly 11 feet for those playing along outside. Yeah. Well.
I still like the Lego Sandcrawler. I don't know. They did end up doing an official set, but one of the ones that was up as the fan-made one that was even better than what they ended up releasing, I think.
Did we ever get a Skyhopper?
Yeah, I got it. I loved my Skyhopper.
Cool.
It was a weird one. Like, there was like a smaller vehicle that you'd put them in, and then it slid into the larger shell.
There was that scene again.
There it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Honestly, that was something I expected them to fix in the special edition that they didn't.
I like my Sideshow R5-D4 better than my Sideshow R2-D2.
Did R5 come with as many extras?
He did not come with a drinks tray.
They actually made a
I didn't mean Luke to figure trench with up that model.
And we only lost one friend over the whole thing.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I got to get that Luke with that little Skyhopper model. Farm Boy Luke, the most probably out of this film, probably the most produced figure.
At no point does 3PO ever look polished, does he? He's never really sort of chromed up, shiny.
At the end in the medal ceremony, I'm pretty sure they give him a wax.
Did we ever get the other land speeder that's in the background of the garage?
I know it was a micro machine at one point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think in figure scale. Because that was one of those ones I remember seeing the micro machine and thinking, like, where the hell was that?
Huh.
But it was tricky as Power of the Force too, because you had stuff like Shadows of the Empire and that, and so you would get things that weren't in the movies released as well, sort of hidden in. And then they haven't done the hologram layer as much as I'd you'd think that milk her for.
Original figure came out, that in the the modern line, that was impossible to find. Impossible.
Mm.
I have two, and I have them both on card because I didn't want to open them because one of them I paid insane amount of money for.
Yeah. What's the most any of you have ever spent on a Star Wars figure?
It'd have to be the Hot Toys Han and Chewie set, I think.
Yeah. 60 or 70 on a 3¾ figure?
Trying to think of what one.
I'd be up around 190 on Lego kits. Not the most expensive Lego kit.
I mean, I have an AT-AT, so that would be up there, but I don't remember what it was.
Trying to think if there's any that I went higher than 40 on. I can't think of ones, but some of the vintage in that I paid a little bit for. I always wanted a Kyle Katarn, but he was sitting around $100 in comic book shops here as it was running, but I never pulled the trigger. I was close a couple of times, though.
Did anyone else look at the blue milk that Aunt Beru pours and just think that living in the desert couldn't get any worse until you see her pour that?
No, see, for me, I love Blue Heaven milkshakes. Like, this was not an uncommon thing for me. That's why it fascinates me that it's so big everywhere else. Do you guys have Blue Heaven milkshakes, John? Have you ever?
No.
So it's basically just vanilla, but it's got blue food dye in it.
It's just vanilla, but modified somehow.
Yeah.
How come Luke pours a drink from what looks like a big cup into a slightly smaller cup?
Because he doesn't want to spit in the cup that everyone else is going to pour from.
And the moisture gets re-evaporated in. It's part of farm recycle.
So what have we had in the way of play sets from any of this, from Luke's?
Like I said, we had the dome, and that was about it.
Yeah. And the moisture evaporator system piece came with it for Luke.
So what do they actually do? Do they extract moisture from the air and produce water to sell?
See, that's what I always thought. But then if you read the novelization, it actually sounds like they're like out there farming something. They use the water then to farm.
Yeah. So there's two different versions of it, depending on which story you're reading. One is that they're farming water from the air, and the other is that they use water from the air to grow crops under the ground. So those tunnels behind them there, you can see outside, actually lead to like crops underneath the ground that are getting moisture sucked from the surface, which would make a little bit more sense when he says he needs hand for the harvest and that.
So it's labor. A grow house.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's awesome. It. Kick that stone.
They're getting the spice ready.
So they've got all these massive underground caverns to grow stuff, and then like they just happen to be standing outside the front door when the stormtroopers show up.
Yeah.
Bit of bad luck. That's it. Look away wistfully.
Oh.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, boy.
I never realized how much talking there was in this movie.
There's the speeder.
They must be reasonably well-off farmers because there's an awful lot of stuff in the garage.
Yeah, but farming, you need a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
Computery stuff.
And farmers always update their vehicles pretty regularly because, you know, you write it off as a tax thing and whatever.
And it probably seems good to us, but someone might go in there and go like, oh, this is decades old stuff and junk lying around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that glowing droid? I've never noticed him before. There's something just moving at Luke's feet. That was just like a giant light globe.
It's like the, it's like one of those, you know, little rover things. It's just vacuuming. Yeah.
I do like Luke never calls out C-3PO when he's like, oh, that droid's good over there, sir. I've served with him. And then when he runs away, it's like, oh, I knew he would do this, sir. I knew it. It's just, he just stops trusting C-3PO.
It's interesting that, like, Luke's aunt and uncle are never worried that he's going to run off with a girl. it's always, oh, no, he's going to run off to join the rebellion. Not, oh, there might be a girl involved.
Yeah, yay, the land speeder. Yay, the land speeder. I remember absolutely hanging out for this toy when I was a kid, and my mum absolutely positively said she was going to bring it home. And I had swimming lessons at school, which I wasn't enjoying particularly much. And I remember just getting through the agony that was the day and getting home, and then my mum said, oh, sorry, I didn't get to the shops, so I'll get it tomorrow. No, another day of swimming lessons. But then I did get it the next day, so I was quite pleased. And it's probably my number one want in the Star Wars Black Line is for them to do a in-scale land speeder, which I think is quite reasonable.
Yeah, that's doable.
Yeah.
R2's kind of an ass, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
Swears a lot.
I'd be very much lining up for a Bantha as well. I think a Dewback, a Bantha, and a Landspeeder would be pretty darn sweet.
Yeah. You don't ask for much.
Well, I actually think they're all quite reasonable in terms of the 6-inch. Like, oh, give it away, bloody sand people. Come on. You can beat this guy. He can only hold his hands one way.
And he seems to be stuck in a time loop there.
Yeah, he can only hold his hands in, like, the, you know, the rocking out position.
Yeah.
That scared me as a kid, though.
Oh, worse. He was my least favorite 12-back figure. I thought he was atrocious. He used to hold his, what is it, the Gaddafi stick or whatever?
Gaddafi stick. Not Gaddafi sticks, no.
Gaddafi stick. Yeah. Yeah. Bloody Libyans. Stay out of Star Wars.
Because of the toy, I never realized that one of those engines was uncovered until years later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah, chickens.
They're back in the greater numbers.
How much crap is there in that Landspeeder?
It's actually a recent issue of the Marvel Star Wars comic that fills in the gaps with Obi-Wan's adventures with sand people and whatnot. It was quite good. So,
well, he's my favorite character. If I have a character focus in Star Wars, it's Obi-Wan.
I thought you were going to say sand people.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I think
I'm very keen for the updated sand people.
Yeah.
There's definitely characters in the Star Wars mythos that are elevated because of the toys. I think, you know, like for me, like the Jawas and the sand people, and you know, they're very minor characters in the films, really, but they're more significant in my mind because they were some of the original toys. Yeah. And
yes.
I think Greedo's kind of like the iconic one of that for me. He's a terrible character if you watch. Like, he gets taken out like a punk, but he's beloved by a lot of people just because of having the toy and being iconic for the scene.
Yeah, but look at the love for the bounty hunters. I mean, obviously, Boba Fett gets a little bit of screen time, but, you know, as a kid, the second 12-inch figure I ever received was IG-88, and it's like, why was I so keen to get a 12-inch of IG-88 when, you know, he was on screen for about 0.7 of a second? Yeah. And
they were damn cool, the bounty hunter designs.
Mm.
Like, Bossk was just, I loved Bossk just because he looked badass.
Who's his costume from? That flight suit was taken from Star Wars.
Doctor Who series. Yeah, I think a Cyberman episode.
And when, in a few minutes, when you see Chewie talking to a guy at the bar, he's actually wearing that same flight suit, but a black version.
I think that might have been it before they. I don't remember ever owning a droid. Jeez, you bloody old Simons.
Well, he technically didn't.
You know,
as a Jedi, it's all true from a certain point of view.
And R2 wasn't his droid either, so.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean. You know,
I love how they just tear into 3PO. Like, what are they going to do, eat him?
I forgot about him getting torn apart so early.
Yeah, very Scarecrow-esque. And they threw my arms over there and my legs over there.
They actually made a figure with all that sand on it, too.
Yeah. Silver leg again.
Ah, silver leg. There you go.
I do like the theory that C-3PO will power down wherever they're talking about Luke's father and then just come back later on in the conversation, like he's faking being asleep. You watch him and the thing coming up.
I'm more captured by Obi-Wan's collection of bongs in the background. That's 3 or 4 different ones. It's like, geez, he's a bit of a problem there.
Better than Anakin Skywalker's lacrosse collection, if you notice in the prequels. They've clearly just taken sporting equipment and sprayed it silver. Now, is that trunk the one from episode 7? Never really noticed he takes it from a trunk before.
Geez, he certainly managed to acquire a bunch of stuff.
They made a figure fairly recently with that trunk and the lightsaber.
This is one of my all-time favorite memes. This is your father's lightsaber. He used it to murder 36 children.
Powerful weapon. What's he do? Look down the barrel.
See, 3PO has to power down because, you know, he has to conserve energy because he's solar powered.
Yeah. Probably because the interconnector failed again.
Yes.
I actually have a lightsaber replica made from a flash tube, an actual one.
Oh, no.
Saber, yeah.
Apparently, camera collectors hate Star Wars because of all those flash tubes going missing in vintage cameras.
My main memory of my vintage Obi-Wan figure was that darn vinyl cape keeps ripping at the shoulders. So most of my vinyl capes had sticky tape sort of fixing the tear to try and hold them together. It really was a poor design choice, I have to say.
Was that big stain on his shoulder there a minute ago?
No, it's still there. It's
just where Alec Guinness fell asleep in between shots at one point.
If you remember when I reviewed the Hot Toys, that's actually on the Because I was like,
it's where his his former general patch was. He just unstitched it to look like an anonymous hermit.
It was his Anakin BFF tattoo.
Hey, wait, it's the non-working table.
Hey, Eddie, did you get the SDCC special Kenobi that came with the hologrammy thing?
No, I was tempted to, but it ended up being over 150 here for that one figure that we are going to be getting again just for that tape. But they do some cool accessories on those SDCCs, but then it's always a figure we're going to be getting anyway, so it's hard to... Like, the only reason I have the Boba Fett with the Han in carbonite is because he ended up at my stores here on deep discounts. Yeah. So
I never managed to get one, even though I went looking around all the different Myers and they were all sold out. Mm. Ah, there he is whining again. Stop your whining. Honestly.
I really want to go and join the rebellion. Nah, I'm going to pussy out.
Nah. Whine and whine.
We did get, even it was in the storybook, we missed talking about it, but a Tashi Station Biggs as well in the modern line.
Mm. Mm. I wonder why Obi-Wan just, you know, after hiding for so many years, suddenly decides to just get up and, you know, get back into it again instead of just going, no, my time is over, I've been hiding, you know, I'm one of the last Jedi.
Well, we only assume he's been hiding.
Luke obviously knows who he is, so he's been in contact with Luke up to this point. So I think the droid is actually the whole thing that's starting this. And Luke's finally of an age that he can take him with him.
Yeah.
I can't look at this man without seeing Sherlock Holmes.
See, I think Dracula, the old Van Helsing.
Now, they've done a whole set of this table.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think they did a big. It was an exclusive set for somebody.
Mm.
I don't know if it was everybody, but it was pretty close.
They got pretty much everyone that's sort of a main character now with backstory. I do know that the guy in white is actually Yularen, who had a big part to play in the Clone Wars animated series. He was the narrator of every episode.
Mm.
The white's the navy, right?
Imperial navy? So.
No.
I thought the black was.
Well, I think the white's like the admirals or no.
Mm.
Higher level. I don't know.
What are those things in their pockets? Are they just like future? No, I was going to say futuristic, but I suppose it happened a long, long time ago. But like, are they pens?
Yeah, no, they're vaping.
Oh, he's trying to give up the nicotine.
Need that money to get through the day, so not to reload.
So where does a Grand Moff come in terms of rank? You know, I mean,
it's right above the Lesser Moff.
Mm.
Near the Emperor Moff.
Well, I'm curious because, I mean, you know, we've got generals and we've got admirals and, you know,
I figured it was like a duchy or something.
I believe he's right below the emperor. So he
is there more than one
second highest? I think there was like three or four, but I could be wrong. So
there are slightly less impressive moths.
Yep.
Right.
Or are there more grand moths? Grand Moth was the title given to the regional governors of oversectors. These sectors, also called priority sectors, were locations that were of special interest to the emperor.
Cushing didn't like his boots, so he would wear slippers in between takes where they didn't have to show his legs.
That's me at work.
Hmm. Now, have you guys heard the theory about the who actually kills the Lars? In their homestead. So there's a fan theory that says it isn't stormtroopers that go out and kill the Lars, but it's Boba Fett. And it's part of Darth Vader hiding who, because he's like, oh, they're going down to Tatooine and I've got some relatives there and people don't know I'm Anakin, so I should quieten this up while Imperial forces might be moving around here. And they say that's where Boba Fett vaporizes his family, and hence what he says to Boba Fett in Empire Strikes Back. Disintegration, not vaporizing, sorry.
Yeah.
If you're not reading the current Marvel Star Wars title, it's actually amazing. It's really, really impressive stuff. And there's a lot of backfilling of story too. So you actually get Boba Fett on Tatooine looking for Luke, and he ends up confronting him at Obi-Wan's place.
Okay.
I never remembered until I saw it again, the burning skeletons.
Really? I was slightly traumatized by that as a kid.
It's pretty heavy duty though, isn't it, for what was effectively an all ages film.
It's actually probably
in the title, right? So
probably out of everything in all the films, that's probably one of the more gruesome things.
It is, absolutely. So we've got all this, laser beams and ships that can go into a warp, but they've still got hypodermic needles.
Yeah, on a really shaky bobble droid.
Have we ever had the bobble droid with the hypodermic? Oh,
several times.
Oh, really? Jeez.
Dr. Ball and the
3¾.
But clearly, a lot of people are still scared of hypodermics.
C-3PO doing here burning the Jawas?
Yeah, I know. He's a jack of all trades, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's a limited edition C-3PO with dead Jawa.
Yeah. Well,
burn your Jawa toys.
Yeah.
Mm.
Are they doing this out of respect / funeral rites, or are they doing it for hygiene reasons?
I would suspect hygiene reasons.
It's out in the middle of a desert. Are they poisonous to native flora? Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about the humidity.
Maybe they just start to smell after a bit.
Again, it's the desert.
Park on the edge of that cliff.
Yeah. Have you guys ever driven to a city and parked off the side just to get out and look at it and explain what it is first?
Hey, let's not actually drive into the town. Let's just stop on the edge of a cliff and then talk about the town in the distance.
And now's when we get into some really bad CGI.
And had to unload the droids to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
That weightlifting droid with a flying one, I remember that figure sitting around for ages.
It's a funky figure because it's so under-detailed.
Yeah.
What other
shout out to Lamar Avenger because he just posted a picture of that.
Some traffic cops or something.
That yellow archery unit that rolled past, was that in the original or is that added in?
I think it might have been added in because it looks like they just did a bit of a cut using that bad giraffe creature in that one there.
Okay, so which of the sand troopers has rank over whom? Is the black or the orange more senior?
The orange, I would think.
Yeah, he's the one talking.
Yeah, he's not very bright either, so...
They actually made a version with a little clip on that droid that was flying behind him.
And there's Power Droid again in the background. There's the dome again. Mm. Cheap bastards.
now we're back into original footage. The area got a lot less sparse.
Yes.
Not many people around now.
I like that they just repainted the R2 for the other one.
And just the way they lie R2 on top of the speeder to get around. They don't even...
Sure. That Jawa was taking a leak against the wall in the background.
Probably.
You look having a siesta.
I always wanted that little dome thing with the two eyes.
Yeah. Drew back. So is there anybody left in the cantina who hasn't had an action figure?
Tanaka sisters.
Yeah.
What about that lizard looking thing?
Yeah, he did. He's a weird one. He comes back again and they shot him, that one with like the turban and the hooker smoking thing. He's like one design that they just turned back to front.
There was the Bosk suit in black.
Yeah,
that's one version of it. And then, like I said, too, you'll talk to a guy in a black version of it.
There you go.
Doesn't that actor show up again somewhere else?
Don't know.
Okay, it's just me.
That very, there is. Yeah, that's the Bosk head again.
They actually made the bartender. He comes with that little droid detector. It's on the wall.
Mm.
Why do you need a droid detector? Like, none of them look...
IG-88's head.
Yeah.
Actually have a look at a couple of the chrome IG-88 heads, which are actually from the exhaust of a Rolls-Royce jet engine.
Huh.
Is that head reversed again? Hammerhead, everyone loved Hammerhead because of the figure.
He's always going to be Hammerhead to me. He'll never be Momo, whatever his name
is. In fact, I take it back. Hammerhead's the iconic, like, you love him because of the figure character.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't do anything. Yeah. He was a good chunk of plastic for a three-quarter line. I remember when I first got him, you know, he was quite significant in his size. But mine, unfortunately, because he got played with so much, his joints became so incredibly loose. And then the mass of his head used to pull him over all the time. So I actually had a lot of trouble standing him up.
I did love in the show Rebels, they did an episode and in the background there was a Hammerhead walking that had the blue tunic on from the action figure.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm.
So where did the second Snaggletooth come from, like the taller blue-clad one?
They only had a black and white picture of him sitting down to make the figure from.
Ah, okay.
And they guessed, wrong.
Mm. I think certainly at the time when it came to picking characters to make action figures, the richness that was available to them at the time actually would have been a fun time to be sitting around a table talking about who they were going to make into an action figure, because that must have been a really, really long list. I mean, just looking at this cantina scene, it's just endless.
Well, but you got to remember, some of that was added back in after they filmed it and then came back and said it didn't look like enough. So I imagine the toy people didn't have as big a selection as what's actually here.
Huh.
Hmm. No, well, it sucks to them then.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's why you don't always see the same aliens in the scenes with Luke and Ben as you do when the wider shots, just because they just weren't there.
Yeah.
They weren't in the same place at the same time.
Four together. You rarely get this version of Harrison, I feel.
They did one, actually, where he actually has his fingers up. Well, no, that's the one from Greedo, where he's picking the wall.
Yeah. To see credits have made it out to Tatooine since the prequels.
Gold Press Latinum.
Yeah.
The Moogie.
Do you reckon Obi-Wan was always going to pay, or do you reckon he was going to do a runner?
Oh, come on. No. I mean, you know.
He would pay.
And where would he be keeping all that cash from? Is that something that he would have taken? Yeah. Is it, you know, he's saying that he'll pay when they get there. I mean, come on.
Do you think he's just like, it's a princess. She's going to have money, won't we?
We saw how many bongs he has. He spends all his money on, you know.
Clearly got some kind of sweet deal going with the Tuscans.
That's right. Well, now we know what Uncle Lars was farming.
Yeah.
He was providing security for local farms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Greedo holds the auspicious rank in my household of being the last figure that I needed.
So I do not have that Snaggletooth figure. It bugs me.
Mm. I as a kid, I had every figure except Greedo. This is before Empire came out, and he was the last one I needed. I remember just my mum actually bought him and put him aside until she considered my behavior good enough to be rewarded with something. So,
did you know that she had it? Or?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I knew she. It was in the cupboard, and I wasn't allowed to look at it. And she told me it wasn't until my behavior was suitable enough that I would be rewarded with the final figure. And I just remember nagging and getting told that that would get me nowhere. So I thought I'd better hitch up my boots and
how do you miss from that range?
He's a former stormtrooper.
Editing.
I just love how everyone the way just ignores the every time someone's killed everyone else just ignores it. Like,
he paid them off.
I never noticed before, but when he's exiting the bar down in the right corner is the guy that Jabba was based off of in the comic books. Sort of red with cyber. I never knew he was in the films.
No, they just made a figure of him too. I actually had to get him for that reason. Yes, in this scene, he would be wearing slippers.
It's pretty full on to just go, oh, so she didn't talk. Okay, well, let's just kill a billion people. That'll learn her. That'll learn. Hey, now you got answers now, huh?
I didn't like NYPD Blue.
Or Space Jimmy Smith. I like the sound of the word. It's locked. Let's just move on. Clearly nothing would be hidden behind a locked door.
No.
Is that white guy that white robot? Is that like a Ralph McQuarrie C-3PO?
His name is, let me see here, CZ7. And he's the one I said in the Sandcrawler. I waited for a long time, and they finally made a figure of this guy. He actually comes apart in the middle. He's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. Have they ever made an action figure of the Jabba the Hutt that isn't the slug?
That's not the one guy we were just talking about. Yeah.
Remember the guy who was originally in this scene?
Yeah.
I think he's one of the few that they haven't done yet is the fur Jabba. I remember they made a figure of this horrid thing.
Yeah.
And it actually looked as bad in the figure as it does on screen, which is...
He's considerably smaller, isn't he?
Yeah, they had to do some stuff to fit him into frame, and they used the excuse that he put on weight since this movie to Jedi, but it just looks, particularly in a sec when Han walks over his tail, it just looks terrible because obviously there was no tail there, and it just,
it doesn't work well, does it?
Yeah, it just
looks I think that they did the best they could with what they had.
And this is also touched up since it was released in 97 as well. So in 97, this guy looked a lot worse on the screen too. This is the good version we're seeing.
Does Jabba in Return of the Jedi have the four fingers?
I don't
remember his hands being so dexterous. Is that Greedo's brother?
Hey, Greedo's back and look to the camera. Hate that Boba Fett look to the camera. Hate it.
Maybe he's just like Deadpool, but like 20 years before, not quite 20 years, but 15 years before, knew we needed Deadpool.
Oh, hi. I bet you're wondering how I got my own movie. Well, Disney brought a little guy.
One of my favorite scenes that they did in the special editions is coming up, and it's the one where the Falcon actually takes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have the 3D Tarzo of that, which for the US listeners is like a POG. And that was a great little lenticular thing of that taking off and flying.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of chips for those Star Wars Tarzos. And also, I was a fat kid, so I was eating a lot of chips anyway, let's be honest.
The Imperial spy guy, the Garanadan, he's had a couple of figures, which is kind of surprising.
I just love the Millennium Falcon. I just think it's the design, the look, and you know, because it's meant to be a freighter, you just go, really? Really? Like, you know, there's no drag in space. So if you're going to have a freighter, wouldn't it just be like a giant cube? Wouldn't that make it easier to like freight if it was a cube? Like, it just doesn't look like it could hold a lot of freight.
It'd still have to like leave orbit though.
Still, yeah. Ever since Hot Toys made that Millennium Falcon, I've actually gone, like, okay, Hasbro, like, there's still a chance I can get one for my Star Wars Black 6-inch. You know, it'd only be 2.5 meters long. You can do this.
Hmm.
I'd love for them just to do the cockpit like Hot Toys has shown. That could be good for Black Series. But I love the Falcon toy was my first big vehicle. I want this for Christmas. Mm. Piece, and I got it in between 95 and 96, which was basically just an update of the old 70s one. Yeah. It was a great toy that I used to pop the front landing gear and hold like a trigger and fly around the house.
Mm.
Constantly, I used to store my Star Wars figures in the back of it, which did always annoy me. It wasn't screen accurate, but I loved it. It had the little hiding dock, smuggling compartments and that, and the figures never quite sat in the gun I loved it.
When I was younger, I could never quite work out how the Millennium Falcon worked. Like, you just look at it and it's such an odd shape. It's like, so where's their sleeping quarters? Where do they actually put this freight? And it's got to have an engine somewhere. Yeah. So that's got to take up a lot of space. And then years later, when they actually started to do those, you know, like the blueprint books and stuff like that. And I thought, I felt so sorry for the guy that actually had to draw the interior. he must have just sat down and go, why did I accept this job? This logically makes no sense whatsoever.
It's always weird for me that, like, standing underneath the Falcon, there it's about human height. But when they're on the inside, it's clearly three stories just by when they run up to the different gun turrets.
And all doorways are small. Everyone's got to duck under to get everywhere. Yeah. Like, you look at David Prowse when he comes into Leia's cell, and he basically like has to bend right over to get through the door. It's like, really? You didn't sack that firm?
Doesn't help the stormtroopers either.
No.
I don't think ergonomics was high on the list of things they were considering when they were building Death Stars and Star Destroyers. It's like in the first of the Chris Pine recent round of Star Trek with the inside the Romulan vessel, and there's no yellow on black hazard strips, despite that there's like a, you know, kilometer or two drop.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The entire Star Wars universe is an OHAS nightmare. Like, there's no handrails, no safety barriers. It's like, really, no hazard pay.
Vader's helmet almost looks matte to me in this film.
It does, yeah. It doesn't have that polished feel, and most people think it is polished, but it's not. Actually, I really love those gunners, those helmets, just the slot.
Yeah.
It looks like, is that the one that Jyn Erso's wearing in the trailer?
I got to think it's real close if it's not.
Yeah, I think it's close, but it's not the exact design, because it doesn't seem to fan out at the back the way that theirs does.
His lightsaber almost looks green back in that previous scene.
It was green.
Yeah, there was some bad sort of lighting effects done on it, which you'd think you'd fix up for a special edition, but no, we got a...
Probably pretty hard to do. Job.
they did a figure of Chewie with the chessboard. I always call it my Macarena Chewbacca, because if you take him out of the seat with the table, you can't put him in a pose where he doesn't look like, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's great. Now, are any of the characters that feature in the chessboard based on characters in the Star Wars universe? Like, are they, you know, shrunk down versions of a, you know, Corellian blah, blah, blah sandworm type situation?
I'm sure someone's written it at some point, but but I can...
Bless them. I'm aware of, though.
Just buttons and lights everywhere in this thing. I'd be too afraid of leaning against the wall and, you know, shutting off the oxygen. Yeah. Or...
I like there's just some spare pillows packed behind
there. Like it. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Han downloading the latest episode of AFB.
Good taste.
Yeah. I love that scene where he's got a, when they've got their headphones on, it's, you know, they can do faster than light travel, but they still haven't got wireless headphones.
Yeah.
You didn't know about the Force fucking half an hour ago.
Yeah.
You don't believe in the Force.
Just needs a trusty blaster.
Yeah.
A friend of mine actually had the toy blaster, Han Solo's one, and oh gosh, I wanted one.
I do like this helmet that just seems to come permanently with a blast shield down. Like, what's the practical purpose of that helmet?
So we can make another figure of it.
Yeah, that's right. Has anyone ever done a high quality version of Han's blaster?
Master Replicas did.
Mm.
They did the Seeker Probe too, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I was just using a plastic golf ball and like a big long cardboard tube to practice.
I used in like a deodorant can, seemed about the right length for a lightsaber hilt. Just used to imagine the blade. You gotta love these boardroom scenes as a kid.
Is that like a big teleconference unit in the middle of the table?
It could be. It's a voice board.
It's a drink probably dispenser. Some
hologram thing or something. It's Beats by Dre.
Yeah. It lifts up, keeps the muffins warm.
Yeah.
It's actually the head of an R2 unit. The whole table moves around.
Mm.
Like a Lazy Susan.
Yeah.
It's his wireless headset.
Yeah.
Chewbacca whinging.
He whinges a lot too. He's almost as bad as Luke, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's really bumpy, so we'll run up to the cockpit. We won't strap ourselves in.
Yeah. You don't do that on planes?
Yeah, I'll do that fighters, next time. How do the TIE fighters make sound in space?
Shh. Is that the question you're looking for?
It's the sound of the field that they're generating for movement going against the hull of the Falcon.
Plus, there might still be some atmosphere from Alderaan there.
Oh, that's it. And it just follows them around for the next few films.
Yep.
Mm. I actually thought the way they handled the TIE fighters in Episode 7 was really quite good. Even as a kid, I sort of wondered about the logistics of actually getting into one of them.
Yeah.
You know, whether they just dropped this rope ladder out the bottom or something like that.
Well, I think that was the Dark Forces video game is the first place where I remember them being in, like, those docking bay.
Mm.
spots that you'd come in from the roof.
I should say my Death Star playset didn't look anything like this. Nothing.
Well, there were two distinct versions too.
Neither of them were round on the outside.
Well, that one person did the one where they put a bunch of them together to make them a full circle recently, the vintage playset.
Oh, wow.
That was kind of cool.
Do you know what? The Death Star was my, I have to have that for Christmas, please, please, please thing. And I accidentally found it in our garage in the lead up to Christmas. And it was...
Now, so just going to say, they're the space troopers there that we've had many discussion about just as it's coming in.
2 seconds.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll finally get it off my...
So you discovered your gift, did
you? I know,
you?
And it was kind of one of those, moments of, I was, exciting, but I didn't say anything. my dad was very big on the surprise, and he would have been so disappointed if he knew, so I was just like, yay, but.
Why is there a gigantic chasm in the middle of the landing bay?
You're going to do, notice there's no rubbish.
That was a huge chasm a second ago before the lift came up. Not a handrail to be seen anywhere. That'd be terrifying.
Now, this guy's got yellow.
White paint around it.
This guy's got yellow bars for his little insignia thing. What's the deal here? I'm confused.
He's past scanning patrol. It'd suck if you're colorblind trying to tell who was giving you.
Yeah, true.
Let's see, Vader's got his brass straps over the top of his armor instead of underneath.
Yeah.
All those different heights of the stormtroopers. You think that when you were recruiting those extras, you could just ask them to be in sort of a fairly uniform height.
Yeah.
Well, but we actually don't know here if they're clones or not.
They really did repurpose a lot of classic guns to do these futuristic guns.
It works, though. There's something about them that feel lived in and real.
How is it that easy to get into the flooring?
Yeah.
Well, this thing is a freighter, and it's got all these secret compartments in the floor.
Yeah.
Because no one ever thought of that.
Wouldn't you notice that it wobbles a bit when you walked over it?
I do like they overweighted.
They,
like
they have a Hot Toys magnet technology.
comes the cleaning crew.
They're like they only waited 2 seconds before coming out of the hatches too. Once people walked out there,
what? Why has that not got wheels? Why would you make that a two-man lift?
Keep them in shape. Kmart had an exclusive set of that recently, the scanning crew, and I didn't get it.
Really? In 3 3/4?
I thought about it. Yeah, it had the box and the two troopers. Oh. Yeah.
He's a Australian, that guy.
And he only has 4 blue pieces of gum.
Yeah. He was doing the talk at the midnight launch at Chadston of the Episode 1 figures. They got him out as the one Star Wars Australian celebrity at that point.
Oh, my goodness.
Now they get Jed and Gaia to do everything.
When the door goes up, Chewie hits one and they actually shoot another. It wouldn't have been just easier to shoot both of them.
Nah.
Not for Chewie.
Yeah.
Geez, I tell you what, he's lucky that R2's little gadget thing fits into that hole to control the computer.
Yeah.
If that had been a Mac, you'd be in trouble. Anyone got a converter?
A dongle.
Dongle, yeah.
My new phone I got actually has a USB-C connector. It's not a USB micro, and I went through something similar to that recently. None of my cords fit it.
Now, question here, because they've just got R2 to lock in and get the schematics and see where the tractor beam is, but doesn't he already have the Death Star schematics inside of him?
Yeah, but he had to be able to show them what they were looking for. He would have had the plans, but not what was actually going on at the time. That would have been updating information.
I really keep being distracted by how dirty 3PO is.
He's pretty dirty. His big dint in his head.
Yeah.
Someone should actually produce all these backgrounds as cardboard backdrops.
Should say, I actually just noticed on, because I've got both the Black Series C-3POs now, and while they changed the arm and the leg color on him, they actually did new sculpting on his wires in his chest. So it's got some different sculpt work going on there, which I thought was impressive, because that's something you could have just easily just painted differently. And
you know, I think it was a bit of a scam that the Hasbro Star Wars Black just didn't come with a swap out arm.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's just, come on, guys, really? I think that's a bit of a jip.
And it's weird that they made this one the exclusive and the red-armed one for that one joke, the regular.
I have to contact my Walgreens connection to keep an eye out for a...
I have been looking. I have not been able to find one.
I appreciate it.
I never noticed that Luke's actually got the droid collar on his belt already. That's something new to me.
Do you miss the 6-inch Star Wars Black, Scotty?
No. It got too all over the place for me. You know, I think that if they just kept going with the vintage, you know, the original trilogy stuff, I probably would have stuck with it. But the Force Awakens kind of pause in the middle of it is what killed it for me.
I must admit, I've been reinvigorated with the new Snow Trooper and AT-AT driver.
Oh, fair enough. So yeah.
Be hassling Mike S. They just look fantastic. And the depth of characters in these films with army builders, it's enough to send you to the poorhouse.
Yeah. Well, you go.
No, I was just going to say, is that mouse droid going in regular speed, or did they speed up the film? Because that was some pretty serious remote control action for back then.
It was the stunt team.
Can you imagine being a janitor on the Death Star?
Yeah.
Like just all those light bulbs. Look at every one of those light panels. Imagine having like a fluoro behind it that you've got to...
Why, you've got big columns just to sweep stuff down the side.
Well, there's the white uniforms again, John.
Yeah.
So do you think they had extra short stormtroopers to make Chewie look even taller there, or is he just really...
Okay, behind... They're at the elevators right before the guys in white. Yeah. Was a Death Star droid. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah, he was black.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, they probably did make Chewie look big, although he's pretty tall, so.
There was a moment there where he just looks so big.
I tell you what, all the money they invested in this station, a couple of CCTV cameras, and they would have picked up that Obi-Wan was sneaking around.
They're all in the detention center. If you watch later on, they shoot like five different cameras for the one room that's an open square.
Yeah.
I hate when elevators open behind you like that. So look at all the cameras in the roof there, yet none anywhere else.
Yeah.
My 12-inch Chewbacca figure from back in the day was the first 12-inch figure I got, and I just loved it. But really bad articulation and all, because he's got the sort of 45-degree hip cuts, so that that was the only articulation he had, below the waist. And if you actually wanted him to sort of sit down or do anything like that, he would actually sit down with his legs stuck out at 45-degree angles. So he looked like he was a four-year-old at a kindergarten. It looked really, really peculiar. But that bowcaster that came with the vintage figure was just fantastic. I loved it. Loved it. So, and I still have him today. I mean, I remember his sort of satchel, the strap that actually goes around his torso and over his shoulder was made from that same kind of really crappy vinyl that the capes were, so you had to be really careful whenever you took out the little sort of energy cartridges, because putting them back in would cause it to
sort of stretch. So it was a really sort of finicky. It certainly, it's as if it wasn't really made for kids.
They did a Power of the Force playset at a detention hallway, and I really like that set. It's only got half one side, but you know, on the floor. But I really like it's a little nice little Micros kind of set.
Why is that light going on backwards and forwards really quickly horizontally? Is that how fast their lifts move?
Yeah.
Because I have to do with those at work, yeah, you know, absolutely. Like in the morning. I'm only on level 3, but it really saved me some time.
I've got ones that break down like that that will send you back and forth. Thank you.
Jeez, not even a yoga mat to lay on.
Maybe it's like some kind of futuristic metal that's actually comfortable. Except why you would then make that kind of body pose is...
First time we hear the name Skywalker.
So that's Stormtrooper armor. It's meant to be sort of armor, and they have to wear a helmet which obstructs their vision and whatnot. But it's actually not impervious to blasters. So what's actually the point of it?
I don't know, because in Episode 7 we also learned that those helmets don't work at blocking out poisonous gases, which you would think would be one of their main design purposes.
Wonder where they got those chairs before IKEA.
Yeah. They don't look very ergonomic, do
they? I'm pretty sure that you use those chairs to seal up bags of bread that are pretty...
Giant bags of bread.
You do, Those panels on the wall behind them, they actually look like extra fold-down chairs because, you know, like when the main table's busy.
When the main table's
full and then you come in late to the meeting, it's like, oh, I'm going to have to sit up the back on one of the fold-out ones.
I was thinking they look like Borg regeneration chambers, but, you know, wrong franchise. Yeah.
That's right.
Why didn't they just open the door?
I said shut it so it wouldn't open. Yeah. It's really controls.
Surely there'd be an override or something. Do you think the Death Star's too new, or is there someone else in one of those cells that's like, what is going on out
there?
In the Lego game, there are people in the other cells. You can open them up and stuff.
Do they help you if you do?
I can't remember. I think they've got like secrets hidden in one of them, so you got to like open them to find, you know, the little hidden stuff.
Yeah. It's probably for the best that the stormtroopers didn't have hand grenades, because it would sort of make the backwards and forwards, you know, blaster fire exchange a moot point.
Well, isn't that what meant to be thermal detonators on the back of their belt?
Yeah.
No one ever uses.
That would cost a lot of money to repair the set, though.
Yeah.
So did those guns actually do anything at all, or did they just sort of point them and then they did the special effects later? Like they didn't actually make a noise or
they did.
I think they had muzzle flares, I believe.
I don't know if they did because I can't remember who was saying that they actually, maybe it wasn't this film. There was somebody saying they kept making the laser sound when they would shoot it and they had to like teach them not to do it.
It was Ewan McGregor when using the lightsaber. They had to keep telling him off for making lightsabers.
Yeah, I remember that.
Why would you dive into that head first?
Yeah.
More importantly, why have you got a trash compactor in the middle of space? Why don't you just vent it?
Environmentally friendly.
They must have a bigger disposal shaft to get some of that stuff in there from somewhere else, I assume.
Unless it's a recycle thing, just that they crunch it up and use the metal to repair parts.
So, Mike,
why would you have a monster in your trash compactor? And where does it go when the trash compactor does its thing?
Well, it's an introduced species.
Fair enough. Yeah,
you know, people brought rats onto ships and things that weren't meant to be.
So you're saying it started off just like a normal liver fluke size?
Yeah.
Okay.
They actually say that that a door opens, though, and they hear it come in, and then it goes back out the same way.
Oh, there's my Death Star playset was the one that had the trash compactor thing in it, but you had to, like, screw the edges screw the handle on the side to, but and it had little foam bits of rubbish in it as well as the little monster.
Oh, really?
It was good fun.
Did you add extras to it to make it a bit more authentic?
Oh,
I did. I had some extra foam in mine. That foam held up. My Dagobah foam did not. My Dagobah foam has disintegrated over time.
I have to imagine wearing a stormtrooper suit and then being wet wouldn't exactly be a fun day of filming.
Yeah.
It was probably more than a day, too. Imagine coming back for the second day.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Mark Hamill actually busted a vessel in his eye, so they shoot him from one side for parts of it because he had a bloodshot.
I think after this, it would have been fine. They would have just assumed it was pink eye.
Yeah. Oh, they need to do an action figure of Leia in her see-through wet gown.
With the giant soft pole that she's about to use to try and stop the compactor.
That's right. What, I mean, what is that that someone just throws it out? Is that part of the, you know, part of the hot water system?
Well, you got to figure they're pretty close to nearing the end of construction. So some of this might just be construction debris.
That's just painted bubble wrap, isn't it?
It's clearly not a strong metal if they're able to move it themselves in such a
aluminum.
I don't think I've ever owned an action figure of Luke and Han in their Stormtrooper outfits in any way, shape, or form.
Even the Black Series one?
Yeah, I skipped them in the Black Series.
I really like the Black Series one. They did well.
Yeah, I've never found them particularly interesting, so I just never liked the originals.
The Power of the Force ones were a bit, because that was just heads on the regular Stormtrooper body.
Well, not exactly, because if you had the Kellogg's one, Han's actually posed different.
Okay. We didn't get that mail away here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all my cards from my original vintage figures have the proof of purchase removed. I was looking at them a couple of years ago, and I wasn't too discreet with the scissors either.
They were hard to cut up because you had those little kindergarten scissors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's what I did too. Like, I didn't actually sit there and gently go around it. I thought, oh, to hell with this. I'll just cut a huge square out of it and then trim around it.
They did a set later on that was like two different sets of the trash compactor with all the trash, but it didn't have walls. It was a pretty nice little set. I didn't get either of them. I kind of regret
and
that.
And it had like deep foot pegs, so it looked like they were standing. Yeah, I think I remember that.
It didn't have walls.
No, it was just like trash.
Okay.
And kids bought it.
Frank DiOrio, actually, if you go on his website, he has a layout for doing walls for it and stuff. But yeah, it was kind of different. The sets were nice. They just didn't have walls.
I feel like Luke should be getting crushed in the gut by the amount of things around him here being compacted.
I don't think it's a particularly effective trash compactor because it just looks like the trash is just moving around. It doesn't actually look like it's been particularly well compacted.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing pushing from above, right? So,
We mustn't be far off of getting Leia in the Star Wars Black because I think she's in the
I think next she's set. The same one with Ben and the AT-AT driver and Revan.
Yeah, so I must get in contact with our good friend Mike S. and find out where that's at.
How many Sponsor days after this did Chewie smell?
Yeah. Walking furry carpet. Wet.
The time.
Look at that. Look at that. That is an OHAS nightmare.
Yeah.
So send the old man onto it.
Eh, walkways, no handrails, ridiculous.
Where did all these chasms on the Death Star go?
Imagine just around the hemisphere. Like, it probably just went around in a circle after.
Do you think they had like a like a maintenance kit that had all the PPE you needed to get out there safely?
No, because they're stormtroopers. They didn't care.
Yeah, but the stormtroopers aren't doing the maintenance.
But it's meant to be interacted with, because, you know, he actually pulls levers and stuff. So people are actually meant to be out there. So, oh, Chewie, you big sore.
I wouldn't go either after what's just been done to him.
Okay, here's a question. Where did Luke and Han's clothes come from?
Under the things.
They actually had their vests and everything underneath there.
Stored in his little, like, the backpack of the stormtrooper. It's like a back bag. That's why it's got the circle on the back.
And they had that much time that they could just quickly, like, neatly fold it. And
yeah. R2-D2 has, like, a little vacuum in.
Uh-huh. How according to how to operate this?
Yeah. They had a lot of time in the desert to learn. Studied. Now, these two stormtroopers are actually rebel soldiers in disguise called Tag and Bink, according to the EU, but I don't think it's overly canon.
I didn't realize just how yellow Han's shirt is under that vest.
It's one I don't think that this, so this designer Han, I don't think it's one they've really. They've done a few of him, but I don't think they've overly gotten right accurately the way the shirt sort of sits on him and its yellowness.
Must be a bit of a toy designer's nightmare, all this drapery in the fabric. It's, it doesn't sort of lend itself to cut joints. And
now, did they add stormtroopers in that room he runs into?
Yeah. It was not like the whole ship's worth or the whole Death Star's worth the troopers were there.
Yeah. Because as a kid, that's what I remembered it being, and then I remember seeing it later on and being like, oh, there's not as many as I thought. Now I see it, and it's like, there actually is a ton there. I wonder if they...
Why would that bridge even retract? Like, what purpose does it serve? I mean, you know, the whole point to the London Bridge is so that it can raise up and let ships through. I mean, is something going to come through there?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, the thing that they... Go to go service the thing that Obi-Wan's on.
Jeez. That wouldn't pass anything today.
No.
I actually remember, I love this scene so much with the, you know, this chasm and that sort of thing, that this was the first diorama I ever built. We bought a brand spanking new colour TV. And it came in a huge box. And I asked my father if I could have the box. And he said, yep, sure, whatever. And I turned that sucker sideways, and I remember cutting out the, you know, cutting little windows in each end, and then folding the cardboard down to make the bit that stuck out. And my father was an electrician, and you know, he taught me to solder. And I remember getting little sort of copper wires and soldering my own little grappling hook, and attaching string to it. And yeah, I had Luke and Leia swinging across the chasm, and I got out the texters and yeah. Well, there you go. There's a memory I'd forgotten about.
wouldn't you like to see Luke pull out like two or three other things that weren't grappling hooks first?
Yeah.
Nope, not it. Nope.
A James Bond aqua rebreather.
Yeah. Shark repellent.
How many stormtrooper suits do you think they actually had?
A dozen?
Yeah. There's a few in the docking bay scene when they come down. So it had to be at least 20, I'd say.
Where's that blue droid again? We saw him previously.
If you're not reading the current Marvel Darth Vader title, you're missing out on an absolute gem. It is fantastic.
It's one of the best use of LaRocca art as well.
It's astonishing. I think it was the best title Marvel's done in years. This is one of those great scenes where you see Vader's lenses in his eyes and you can see they're red.
But it was only this film, wasn't it? They darkened them up for the next two.
Why does he already have his lightsaber lit?
Because he knows Kenobi's coming.
You've got to be prepared, man. How does he go on to be powerful?
He becomes one with the force, which they weren't doing up until really this point. He's been learning off Qui-Gon while out meditating, which is why Qui-Gon didn't disappear, but he...
Meditating with bongs.
You know, I can actually remember getting my Obi-Wan figure with his really crappy vinyl cape and getting my Darth Vader figure with his really crappy vinyl cape and then pushing the lightsabers out of their arms, you know, with that really ridiculous system where the lightsaber used to retract into their arms. And, you know, I had these two figures with their arms straight out and trying to sort of recreate the lightsaber fight. And even as a kid, I just thought, man, this is shit. Like, it just doesn't work at all, at all. I mean, whose idea it was to have lightsabers retract into their arm instead of actually having, you know, a lightsaber that they could hold? And then when they actually did the Return of the Jedi Luke in his black outfit and he actually came with a separate lightsaber, he was and still remains my all-time favorite figure in the vintage line. I just thought it was really great that we actually had a lightsaber that he could hold.
Yeah, but Bespin Luke had that too.
Oh, didn't he? Oh, he did, yeah.
I was furious with episode 2 when they went back to action features and they did that lightsaber in the arm for the Anakin in slave disguise that was out of the time. That is a
horrible figure.
Yeah.
The thing about the vintage Darth Vader figure, though, that always bothered me, he doesn't have the cod piece.
Yeah, because he had the T-crotch.
Yeah. But it's not the, you know, it just looks like fabric. He doesn't have the armor piece there that he actually has.
Luke's not bad with a blaster for a farm boy.
Yeah. Probably had to keep some sand people at bay at points.
True.
Why didn't that cut his robe in half?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, it's...
severed that guy's arm, so.
You're like, Luke's all mopey here because the friend that he knew for 24 hours died, and even though her whole planet blew up, she's the one comforting him.
Yeah.
I think Chewie shows more empathy here than he does in episode 7. Way to impress the princess, mate, by just, you know, going the whole emotional mopey kid thing.
Yeah. He's a snag, all right?
I could never work this out as a kid when they get into the gunning seats and they're talking to each other down the tube. It's like, but one went up and one went down. So does that mean someone's actually sitting in that chair facing downwards?
Yeah, I always wondered if, like, gravity changed or something, like there was different artificial gravity depending on the room. Yeah.
Is Han actually in his chair looking straight up? With his back to the floor, and Luke is actually facing down with his back to the roof. Okay, here we go. So. Hooray! Hooray! TIE fighter pilot, my all-time favorite trooper. Ah, black stormtrooper armor. Gotta love it.
This is the guy they stuffed up the Black Series on, though, the Oxio guy, where they just gave him zeros on the print of his head. Oxio, which is, like, that's the whole reason the character's called Oxio, is because that print in the head.
Yeah, I love the TIE fighter pilot. I just think that stormtrooper armor couldn't be any more menacing until they made it black.
Had someone at work complaining the other day about the new black troopers in Death Troopers in Rogue One.
No, right.
Like, back in the day, there was only stormtroopers. Like, why need all these different ones? And I was like, well, there was sand troopers, and there was stormtroopers, and there was TIE pilots, and there was snow troopers, and there were scout troopers, and there was
a lot of space troopers.
Yeah, the Royal Guard. There was all different designs, even back in the original trilogy. It's not a new thing.
Oh, my question will obviously be the same as everybody else's, and, you know, what happened to all those different troopers at the end of...
They're just used for specific things. There's, like, ones for the beach and...
Yeah. Maybe that's why they did it.
So Laundry Troopers.
Where did all those cables come from?
And they took my arms off and threw them over there.
Did he bump a panel and they all fell out or something? And look at that DJ in the background, like that Death Squad commander, like dropping some fat beats in the background.
That guy's playing Gallagher.
Why didn't they just go around Death Starring the shit out of all the planets?
Obviously, it doesn't take that long to recharge.
Yeah.
You'd have to be feeling pretty bad as a contractor, wouldn't you? When you get home and you know, your wife asked how it was working, so yeah, I built a Death Star. You know, got good pay, but
it's government work, so
yeah. We all know what public servants are
like. Be good.
Yeah.
No soul.
No.
I've used that line a lot.
That's how he gets the chicks.
Yeah. I care. Trying to think if they ever gave an EU reason for his scar there on his chin, but I'm sure they'll tackle it in the new Young Han Solo movie.
It's amazing how he
was on a train with a bunch of animals and he got a lion and a whip. No.
Can we just make it something boring like he cut himself shaving?
Yeah. And
books. That's the traffic police. Yeah.
Just
been hit with the radar. As a kid, did you ever think the Y-Wing just felt so inferior compared to the X-Wing? Like, the X-Wing's just got such an awesome design that looks so badass when it opens the wings up that, you know, being a Y-Wing pilot is kind of like a, you know, they're the guys that didn't score as high on the test.
The Rogue Wing Squadron video game on the Nintendo 64 didn't help that either because that was a terrible vehicle. It's a pilot.
Something's ringing a bell. Yeah.
Oh, it was shocking. Any like Y-Wing levels, you're just like, oh, I'm going to die. This is terrible. maneuverability.
Yeah. Grand Moff Tarkin's not happy they're out of muffins.
Yep.
Yep. They opened up that box thing, they'd find the rest, right?
Yeah. What a job that poor.
Yeah. How do you think he got up there? Got.
Yeah. Just stand in this cellar. Oh, there's Ginozo.
Maybe there's a little toilet in there, or there's a little funnel or something.
I still don't understand, right? So they could track the Millennium Falcon at other times. So why don't they just keep following it discreetly and then blow up any planet that it went to?
I don't know. How does the Death Star get around?
I don't know. Every
I think it moves, but it's not, yeah. I think that's almost what they are doing. They're coming. This is the first place it landed, and they're coming to blow it up. And
I don't remember that droid being made into a figure next to R2. I'm sure it has, but yeah.
He's a Black Series at the moment, I think. At Toys R Us, the 3-pack exclusive.
Which means he must be one of the Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, I think he's either Biggs or Wedges.
Hmm.
I like this guy's mullet.
Kind of seems mean now in modern when you think about Luke killing those poor Mon Pratts by themselves.
Would everyone please put their chair away before they go?
Yeah, just stack in the corner. If everyone grabs three, we'll be out very quickly.
You can put your rubbish.
Yep, just five high is good. Is this someone's jacket?
3 days later, hi, I accidentally left my jacket behind. Did anyone collect it?
Had the Death Star plans in the...
Yeah. Just move around these nondescript boxes.
Yeah.
Probably petrol.
It's got money in it, probably.
It's gold pressed platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the droid being loaded into an X-Wing in the background.
Yeah.
They're in the wider shot.
I love how all these boxes and barrels get reused and stuff too. Stuff from Battlestar Galactica got reused for Buck Rogers. Oh, whiny. So do you reckon Luke actually had some X-Wing lessons before he gets in it, or did he just go, I flew a land speeder around.
They're letting Porkins drive. Like, I don't think the standard level's very... Like, it's kind of impressive that they had X-Wings to fight with, judging by the quality that they're using.
Yeah.
Honestly, probably R2 does most of the work.
That's right.
It's like they're just like, oh, yeah, we'll just let him think that he's flying it.
I think next to that Y-Wing looked like a vintage vehicle energizer.
I keep seeing the Y-Wing, you know, that really cheap line they've brought out for the 3¾ where you can't actually put any figures in any of the vehicles. I keep seeing those around, and they actually look really good, and it's an interesting choice that they've made to, you know, hey, let's actually produce them, but in order to keep the costs down, we'll make them kind of, you know, non-usable with any of our action figures.
Now, I thought when we first got teasers of Rogue One, the character Cassian Andor looked a lot like Biggs to me, and I was hoping we'd get a Biggs backstory, but he's his own character.
Would have been a good opportunity.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot together. He knew my dad.
Yeah. But he never actually did. That's something Lucas forgot to explain. Everyone was walking around calmly before, and now everyone's realized it's showtime.
The way Jess is good again.
Yeah. That's really what they're fighting for, is rebels. They just want better OH&S here.
You reckon it's just a union movement?
With ladders with rails, and there's, you know, pit crew running around.
Yeah.
They use orange fluoro.
Yeah. Just to stop work action, you think?
Yeah. This is the real philosophy behind Star Wars. It's about...
get rid of the fair work
safe. Yeah. Look at that. He's got orange safety goggles. Like,
surely that guy should have some sort of orange vest on in that tower.
Or at least like a light so they can see him at night time.
That was a shot used in every coming in 1997 at the movies.
Yeah, fat bastard.
So for those that follow Formula One and don't know, that's why Nigel Mansell had the red number 5.
Really didn't know that.
Yeah.
The guy who played Porkins, though, went on to have a bit of career. He was in Flash Gordon and Raiders of the Lost Ark and Tim Burton's Batman.
Yep. You'd think like a couple of Star Destroyers lurking around the Death Star would have made all the difference.
Yeah.
Or just
they couldn't. Lights. They couldn't keep up.
Yeah, I mean, John As an engineer, have you seen the comedy sketch about the Death Star engineer?
No.
There's this good, like, comedy piece of a Death Star engineer getting up to speak at a conference and everyone's booing him for designing the little port that gets on. He's like, hey, guys, do you realize how hard it is to have a station the size of the moon and only a 2-meter-wide exhaust pipe controlling everything? And I'd like to point out that the way that bullet shoots down, it takes a direct right angle through, which can only be described as magic. Which, by the way, have you noticed this guy seems to be the son of the leader up here that also uses these magic powers? Like, I don't think I'm the one to blame here.
I will try that as an excuse next time at work something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Those turbo laser batteries on the exterior, not the long thin ones that are shooting out the side, but the ones that are sitting on top, the box shaped ones. I thought they were just so cool when I was a kid, and just hoped they would actually make some sort of a playset type accessory that would have those. I just love the way they track after the X-Wings shooting at them. But no, we get cardboard sand crawlers.
They're probably one of the most replicated things in video games. Like, it's hard to think of a space video game that doesn't have turrets like that in it.
Mm. I just thought that looked fantastic.
Are there actually many, like, in the 3¾ line, or any, if at all, of the turrets that actually turn around or that have people in it turning to blast things?
Hmm.
Well, the vintage playset had the one cannon on it, right?
Yeah.
And the Lego people just did one of those too with two or three gunners on it.
Yeah, Lego has all kinds of the turrety gun shooty bits. I mean, there's a hot set and everything as well.
Mm. Did you end up getting your Force Awakens TIE Fighter, Eddie?
Yeah, I did. I actually just had my Facebook memory of it popped up the other day. And so literally a year ago, almost yesterday, I think it was.
It still captures people's attention when they come to our house. Despite all the sideshow statues and stuff, people see the giant TIE fighter in the corner of the room and still comment on it.
Did you see it some spots in the US? I think it was at TJ Maxx's or something. They were clearancing it like $25.
Ah, the pain.
It's just, it's been like, that would have been really hard not to army build with.
But even if it was that price and you went, okay, well, I'm going to buy 8, that box was freaking gigantic.
Yeah. Remember, I took it home on the train. It was not a pleasant trip.
It's for my son.
I think I used it as a seat at one point. It just
In the last school holidays, we were down where my wife grew up, and the Meyer in Wollongong is closing. And so they had everything heavily discounted in that store only, and they had TIE fighters there. And I was like,
It's a great piece. Once you get it out and you look at it, you just, you're in awe at just how big it is. As a kid, it just would have been impossible to fathom a TIE fighter being that size. Atari 2600 graphics.
Yeah.
So he's hoping that, the X-Wing is not out of the realms of possibility. And I think even a, original trilogy TIE fighter couldn't be that hard. I mean, all I really did was reverse the colors on.
Yeah.
I'd like an X-Wing. Give me a Poe Dameron's X-Wing. Go with that.
No, just give me any. So he's hoping we do get more vehicles. I'm all for it.
How many of the pilots have we seen, Eddie?
I think we've seen all of them from this battle. Because there was the pilot like gift packs a couple of years ago at Toys R Us. I
forgot about those. Yeah.
That I think covered. I don't know if we've gotten all the droids yet for them, but I think at least in this one. And I don't know if we've seen all the ones from the battle in Return of the Jedi. Yeah, I think there's one or two of those pilots that are still on high and want lists. But yeah, you'd be hard pressed to find someone in this film now that they haven't made a figure of, unless it's really obscure background person. But even then, there's a generic one representing him.
Somebody must be employed at either Hasbro or sort of the Lucasfilm connection who scrutinizes the film frame by frame and, you know, writes down and takes little sort of frame snippets. Yeah.
They probably don't have to. The fans probably do it for them and go, I want this guy. I want this guy.
Yeah, sending that email every day.
But it amazes me that they sort of even thought that far ahead to go like, okay, we're using this model of the X-Wing, but swap out the droid in the back for a red R2 with a cone head for as it's flying, or this one, is it going to be a blue, like that it's just not all the same R2 and the same ship design. And
I wonder if they would have likeness rights for everyone in this in the original film or not.
Doesn't it sort of depend on the contract they sign?
I just wonder then, like, you know, I think
It was probably easier to do then, you know?
Yeah.
I suppose it wasn't expected to be a huge hit. Did anyone else think that the...
He just keeps following him and doesn't shoot him.
Remember the vintage Luke in his X-Wing gear action figure? And he actually had that weird thing where the plastic of his fingers was joined to his thumb.
I hate that.
So he actually had the, you know, the actual hole in his hand that he actually had to put the grip of the gun in. It was actually really quite frustrating. And a lot of my friends actually used to get a knife and just sort of put a cut in it so that you could actually open his hand out properly and, effectively give him, the G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip.
Yeah.
And he didn't have gloves on.
No, it was... Yeah, obviously he was back in the hangar bay getting ready. Oh, there's that turbo laser again. Love it.
Well, it seemed weird to me that they seemed to fly down a whole run of the trench when you might be able to just come in a little bit later on past the turrets.
Just come in from the side.
Yeah, some of the video games actually got reward, like you got forced to stay below the height of the trench the whole time, after a certain point, because otherwise you would just go up and see just above and off to the side because there was less fire coming in. Which I always thought was rude.
Maybe if they go too high, then more of the turbo lasers can shoot at them.
Yeah.
But given that the vent's facing straight up and, you know, in space there is no up and down, you could, in theory, come straight down on top of it. You wouldn't even have to shoot at an angle. You'd just shoot straight into it.
Unless the Death Star weighs that has enough mass that it is actually like almost planet-like.
Create some semblance of gravity.
I always wondered story-wise why Lucas lets Wedge survive. Because normal story structure, you'd just leave Luke being the last one and that. It's not a character we've known in any way or established, but...
Everyone's adjusting their targeting computers. Yeah.
Got to get those retro graphics up.
Easy.
So Neville sort of explained why the target computers don't work. It's just a flock convened.
So how many of those geezers around the table back in the Rebel headquarters managed to make it to action figure form?
At least two of them.
Yeah.
What
about the guy with the awesome moustache?
I think he made it,
Mario.
Get the fire flower, Luke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how many of them are still around for the table scenes in Empire?
I don't think too many because I'd taken from the Cheers bar by then. But there's been a few of the Hoth base ones as well. Yeah. I still see Ton Farr everywhere.
Yeah, because, I mean, by then it's a whole different group of generals. And
yeah. How does Vader get hit and then spin out of the trench?
Very the strange. Force.
Mm.
Sorry, I should have guessed.
The Force.
Actually, you were talking about the graphics. I think it's kind of cool they did the Rebel graphics as lesser quality than the Imperial ones, just to show their equipment was a little better.
Yeah.
Why do the X-Wings keep rocking? Why every time they show them, he kind of looks like he's on a wave?
That was probably just on wires in the studio. It's probably one of those coin-operated machines.
I think they probably just did it to try and give the sensation that he's actually moving.
They didn't have GoPros.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or that guy from the Bourne movies that shakes the camera.
Yeah. Let me get me started on Paul Greengrass.
The droids take a beating in these films.
They do.
They somehow seem to not destroy their personality by getting the absolute crap shot out of them, though.
So they back them up on a USB.
Probably.
Yeah, they just download off the cloud and good.
At least they sprung for some new threads for saving the universe.
Yeah.
Galaxy.
I think he's just got a claim.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Wedge get a medal?
Yeah, well, Chewie goes in with him and he doesn't get squat.
Where are you going to pin it?
Yeah, it could just be hidden in under the fur there somewhere.
Mm. That scene would have cost a fortune for costuming.
Yeah. I do love that yellow jacket, though. That's a good...
Yeah, it is pretty cool. They've all had action figures, haven't they, with their ceremonial medals and whatnot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If we do get another Black Series Luke, though, that's the one I want.
Because
it's also the outfit he's been wearing in the... recent comics, they've sort of kept him in as well.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
Yeah, it's clean C-3PO.
Yeah. Mm.
Is there any loot they need to do for the Black Series they haven't done already?
I think he might be one of the only ones.
That is a lot of hair.
Those 70s.
Yeah, he's looking pretty polished, L-3PO.
Yeah. There's a guy with a baseball cap on behind. I never know.
Yeah. There was actually a guy getting around with a boonie cap back on Tatooine.
Wonder what Chewie's saying there at the end.
I don't know, but the subtitles make it far less expressive when Chewie talks. It's probably just got gas.
Well, there we are. We got through.
Waiting for my Peter Cushing action figure.
I just googled the Princess Leia ceremonial gown figure, which I've never seen in person, and she's terrifying.
I think that's just
Carrie Fisher. They've just captured them.
She's never really translated well to action figures in any way, shape, or form.
No.
I thought the Bespin one was all right as a kid.
Cartoon stylized versions.
I always used to like the Bespin one as a kid. She'd always be the... Because I used to just interact with my figures. So I just choose the Luke that I like the best and the hand that I like the best, and I didn't care whether they weren't in the same scene together in those costumes. Just the way I did it.
Yeah. See, I was a big Boosh fan for Leia. That was my favourite version. Oh. She sort of had that kick-butt bounty hunter outfit, and it was the best sort of head design.
Yeah. I did like the way Lando's helmet fit, his skiff guard figure.
Was he meant to be an alien disguise, or is that just a mask? Because that always bugged me as a kid, because I thought he was trying to be an alien, but it didn't.
Nah, it's just a military helmet of some kind.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, we did it. That is the official first Toydio commentary. If you liked it, then let us know or thoughts on how to improve it. And we might think about doing one again for future special episodes or very special episodes. And
350.
And just a reminder, as we've mentioned a couple of times, that after this show that we are going to have a little bit of a break, and we will still be putting out shows, but we are taking a break from the weekly run for a while to rethink and maybe do some tweaking of the format. In the meantime, a few people have got some ideas of special things or interviews that they would like to do, so you certainly will continue to hear from us. Don't freak out if there's not a show in your feed every week for the next little bit. But please keep in touch with us on the Facebook page. We'll let you know what we're doing. We'll let you know when the new shows come out. And we thank you very much for all of the fantastic support that you've given us over the last 5 years. And we're looking forward to the next 5.
Hooray!
Yay! Yay.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good journey, guys.
Bye. The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, don't forget to check out our sponsors like Mike's Comics and Stuff, The Pop Culture Superstore, Bam Kapow, and Davey Boy's Toys. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at ActionFigureBlues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/ActionFigureBlues. Thanks for listening!